vision of marriage was going to be what I saw in the movies, you know, and what I saw at home, a husband who was going to love me. You know, I was going to have five children or six kids because I love kids. And I was just going to have this amazing marriage like my parents had. And that's what I had in mind. And then it was a rude awakening, very rude awakening. Be like all Indian families, by the time you hit 22, shadi karo, you know, get married. And being very tall, I think they panicked, you know, I'm 5'10". They thought that there was not going to be a tall enough groom for me. He was very polite, charming, good looking, you know, worked out, you know, bodybuilder. I mean, you know, your Salman Khan body in this Amitabh Bachchan's voice, you know, I mean, you couldn't have asked for better. And so I said, okay. While we were engaged, he visited once. And in that time frame, I don't know, I started sensing something was not right. And my advice to all the women who listen to this is, go with your woman's instinct. It is the first instinct you get in your stomach. I tell you, that's the one you need to go with. I felt there was something not right. And I considered myself to be a smart, educated person. And I realized afterwards only that I was only book smart, and my parents should have taught me to be street smart. I told him, I said, I'm in Kenya, you're here. We should have our civil marriage because you need to sponsor me. And that's where the excuses started. No, I can't sponsor you. You know, it'll be too difficult. Come there. You have a tourist visa. Come there. I'll marry you once you come to the US, but we'll have our Indian wedding in Kenya. And I kind of find that very suspicious because I kept saying, you know, what if I get caught in immigration coming in and all this other stuff? But anyway, he was so charming enough to convince me that that was not the way to do it. So we had this big fat Indian wedding. April the 13th, 1986 was probably the worst day in my life, the worst day. So I arrive here, and the very first drawer that I opened, the dresser drawer that I opened, came a whole box of pictures came out of this American woman and this guy who I'd married. And they were recent pictures. It all made sense now why he didn't marry me in Kenya. Because in Kenya, he would have had to marry and go to the American embassy. All the truth would have unfolded because he was still married. That was the beginning of what I would call a nightmare of a marriage, an absolute nightmare. That was just the first lie. And after that, it was one lie after another. And whatever you want to call it, the nonsense that we raise our children with to say, especially our daughters, we say, this is your destiny. This is your kismet. This is your sanjog. I found out 6 weeks later, I was expecting a baby. 9 months of pregnancy was hell, absolute hell. All I remember is constantly yelling at me, if this is not a boy you're going to see, you're useless, you know, what are you good for? You're good for nothing. To the point where he locked me out several times in our apartment at night, where I would be literally in my nightgown. And if I would ever answer him back or say anything, I'd be locked out and I have to spend the night in the club. I would go to sleep in the clubhouse. And believe it or not, neighbors would give me blankets. Non-Indian, I stress. Not a single Indian family ever helped. It would always be a non-Indian who would come to me, see me sitting outside my doorstep and say, what, you know, they would hear the voices. Nobody ever called the cops. Nobody ever told me to call the cops, but I would be given a blanket and I would sleep. Guess what? We had a baby girl. Downhill. That's it. You know, and there was, again, no help. Absolutely no help. Nobody to turn to. Who could you trust? You know, who do you go to and speak to? Who do you trust? I was 6 months pregnant. I came home and caught him in the act in my own bed. Took out gali at him in Punjabi. And the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. He pushed me down two flights of stairs and I landed on the floor. My water bag broke and I delivered a 1-pound baby by C-section 4 days later. He said, you report me and you're not getting that green card. And this time I'll throw you out and I'm going to keep the babies here. You won't get to see them. Now I had two babies who are American citizens, but I didn't have a final green card. I didn't know what to do. I always consider November 21st, 1991 as the day Renu Dhillon was reborn. And that's the day I vowed to myself that I will never let any man ever tell me what to do in my life again. everything in me had been destroyed. You know, I lost faith in people. I hated how I looked. I hated everything about myself because he had really pushed me to the point by, you know, constantly criticizing me. I mean, that those 4 years was just spent, look how you look, look at you. You don't have big boobs. I wanted a woman with big boobs. I mean, seriously, could you not see when you met me that I'm not a size D cup that you have to tell me after the fact? I mean, you know, to know that, to think that a man can get away with this kind of shit. I mean, I'd love to say, hey, your penis is not big enough too. But what was I going to get? I was going to get beaten up for saying that, right? You know, I tell myself, it's all my fault. That very day that he slapped me, I should have slapped him back and I should have done something about it. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and blame him and I don't want to blame anybody else but myself. I take responsibility for somebody doing that to me. And because I wasn't that kind of a person, I was very confident when I married him, but I think I became powerless because of being alone in this country and no immigration. I got, you know, two beautiful daughters from him, which I now claim are completely mine. And I insist that they're all mine. And I'm sure I have my own sperm now because they cannot be his children. Definitely lost trust in the Indian community. There was nobody here to reach out because my divorce was a eye-awakening opening experience. Instead of the friends and the community we had built up around us coming to me saying, hey, Renu, we're here for you. Instead, I got, why are you leaving him? He's so rich. Chalo, fair chalta hai. Sab aadmi aise karte hai. Do what do you care? Tujhe bacche hai, itna achha ghar hai, gaadiyan hai. Live with this. Really? That's the advice I got. No one ever told me, leave him and go make your own life. Nobody. It took a lot of courage to leave, let me tell you, because life wasn't easy with two children and no job, no money, no house, nothing, you know, and no career. Because basically I worked for his company. But I would rather have one less roti, two less roti and less dal and no chicken and maybe sleep in a small one-bedroom apartment than live with a vicious person like that. That peace of mind, I tell people that shanti you get, that peace of mind where you can go to bed and know that somebody's not going to come and rape you. I will do anything for peace of mind. Even after going through a divorce and everything, that was always at the back of my head. Why? Why did you want to marry me? Why did you mistreat me like that? Why did you hit me so much? What did I do so wrong? Why? And he said, he goes, I wanted to marry a weak woman. You were too strong. He says, you were becoming strong for me and I needed to control you. And you were not coming in my hands. So the only way I could control you was hit you. And he goes, and then I found out your weakness was me cheating on you, which is true because I lost self-respect for myself as well. Domestic violence is not just getting the thappar and getting beaten up. Emotional, it's something you can't sometimes even heal from, you know. And people don't understand, you know, they think, oh, chalo, thappar maar diya, usko maaf kar do. They don't understand, it's not the thappar. It's the what happens to you. And also the verbal abuse is terrible. It kills you. That verbal abuse will eat you up all your time because it comes back to haunt you. Mm-hmm. And even now, after so many years, I still, you know, sometimes have to relive that. And I'm like, I have to sometimes step back and go, oh, my God. I get told, you're so hard. You're so mean. You're such a bitch. In actual fact, I'm not. I'm actually the biggest softy and the biggest rondo of the lot. But society and life will make you like that because you build these barriers around yourself saying, I'm not going to allow you to do this to me, anybody, whether it's a man or a woman. And so I really feel that people need to understand that domestic violence is not just getting hit. It's a lot more than that. You know, it can ruin your life. I live by my rules, my terms. And whether it's my work or my friends, it doesn't matter. It's going to be on my terms. And if you don't like my terms, hit the road.